I'd like to welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour, Indiana. If you enjoy our radio ministry and would like to further the building of His kingdom, you may visit our website at www.dev.tumcseymour.org. Parents, do your children need some time away from you? Bring them to Vacation Bible School, July the 10th through the 13th from 5:30 to 8 at First United Methodist Church at 201 East 3rd Street in Seymour. You can register by visiting Trinity United West's website or the Facebook page. It will be a stellar adventure. Hope to see you there. Our radio this morning is sponsored by Mark and Kathy Smallwood in honor of Jack's birthday. Our scripture this morning is from 1 John 4, 7 through 21. And in your pew Bible, that's on page 1209. The Lord's love and ours. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent us his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love of God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made a perfect love. We love because he loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given his commandment, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Our sermon this morning is Perfect Love by Pastor Angel Armstrong.
I love the book of John, but he is kind of wordy, a little bit like me, and he kind of repeats himself over and over again. But sometimes I think that we need to have things repeated in order for it to stick. Just as we need to know that we are perfectly and deeply loved in order to enact God's love. I remember my very first church and the pastor there, David Schramm. He is now my mentor today. But he had to work with me for nearly a year to get me to believe that I was deeply loved by Jesus Christ. Because until we know that deep down in our being, we cannot possibly enact the scripture that Judy just read. I remember him asking me, Angel, Do you believe that if you were the only person on earth, that Christ would have died for you? Do you believe that? Dana, do you believe that? Dee, do you believe that? That was difficult for me. It took me about 8 months to answer him and say, yeah, David, I believe that if I was the only living being on earth, Christ would have died for me. You see, I had a difficult time receiving love. And there are a lot of people in this world, I know Ron knows quite a few of them, that have a more difficult time receiving love than they do giving it. But you can't possibly give love the way that the Bible commands us to love unless we're able to receive it. A lot of us believe that we are so damaged that no one can really and truly love us. God the Father, Jesus the Son, loves us deeply. And through the Holy Spirit, we are called to love others. You know, when I was ordained, there were a lot of questions asked of me. They call these questions the historical questions. And the hardest one for me, you know these questions ahead of time. The hardest one for me is, do you believe that you will be perfected in love this side of heaven? Well, now, that's a difficult thing. I'm never going to quit sinning. I'm never going to be perfect at anything. But the answer to that question is, with God's love, I can. When I am so filled with God's love, I can love others, even if they're different than me. Even if I don't believe the same things that they believe. Even if I don't get along with them. Right now, I'm going to ask you to be praying for my oldest daughter and my youngest daughter, because the oldest one lent the youngest one a vehicle. Well, that vehicle broke down in Tennessee. And now, my son-in-law has to go pick it up. I know these two girls are going to squabble, because one's going to say, you know there was problems with the vehicle before you lent it to us. And the other's going to say, well, if you had taken proper care of it. We are called to love people no matter what. Even when we disagree. Even when we don't believe the same things. I want to begin by saying that I have a little bit of trouble with this passage from John. And it's not because I don't understand it. Actually, I fear that it is because I do understand it. And I know what it is calling me to do. And I know that it calls me to look around at the church universal and see, are we really being the church that we are commanded to be? We are commanded to love our brothers and sisters. And beloved, anyone breathing is your brother and your sister. Whether or not they share the same faith, whether or not they share the same beliefs, whether or not they are of the same socioeconomic status, whether or not they even understand what that word means, they are your brother and sister. And the Word of God tells us that if we can't love them who we see, we cannot possibly truly and deeply love God who we have not seen. It has always been very difficult to be the church in the world. We are called to wear the world like a loose garment. But we are not to be so heavenly involved that we are of no earthly good. In the United Methodist Church, pastors are called to spend at the very least 10% of their time with the unchurched. We human beings are interesting creatures. Birds of a feather flock together. We want to be among those who are like us. That's why we gather together in the same church, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. We want to be with our church family. We want to be with those that are like us. Sometimes we look around and we find that we are only among Christian people. Now, how can we possibly share the love of Jesus Christ with those who don't know Him if we only spend our time among Christian people? I invite you to find a way to spend time with those who do not know Christ. The church has always been persecuted. Not just by groups like the Romans, not just by radical people like the Reformation group, but all over the world. China, North Korea, Bermuda. The world has been persecuted. And I don't know about you, beloved, but these ones who say, renounce your faith in Christ or die. Renounce your faith in Christ or I'll kill your children. I don't know if I could do that. I thank God that in this country we can worship freely because I don't know if I would have the strength or the courage to watch my children die because I would not renounce Christ Jesus. But there are those in the world that have to face that type of persecution. John made me wonder in the passage today, if the threat to the church wasn't even a greater threat. You know, sometimes a church can be torn down from the inside. Sometimes a church can be torn apart by gossip. Sometimes a church can be torn about by fear. Sometimes we are so filled with fear of doing something different. I've never done it that way before. We've never done that as a church. Sometimes we are so caught up in the unknown that we fear actually enacting what the Bible tells us to do. You know, as a pastor, I am called to love everyone. And not only do I believe with everything in my being that if Jesus were alive today, He would indeed be walking with the drug addicts, with the prostitutes, with the tax collectors, with the homosexuals. I believe that He would be loving them and telling us to do the same. We don't have to agree with everything everybody does. I am called to bring people to the foot of the cross and let the Holy Spirit do the heavy lifting. We are called to catch them, reel them in. The Holy Spirit's job is to clean them up. I know that me, myself, if I was not loved by the first pastor and the associate pastor and the body called First United Methodist in Marion, Indiana, I would not be who I am today. I certainly wouldn't be preaching the Word of God. They accepted me for who I was. They walked alongside of me and they loved me as the Holy Spirit taught me to be more like Jesus. God's command is that we are to love our brothers and sisters, and everyone is God's child. Loving a brother and sister does not mean that we are emotionally in love with them, does not mean that we get a warm feeling every time we see them. It means treating them like we would treat anyone else. It means helping them when they are in need. The Word of God tells us that we are to put our needs aside, and that the needs of others are to be first and foremost and most important. You know, I see the love of Christ enacted in Glenda and Kathy and Dana every week as they serve the poor downstairs. And sometimes that's a difficult thing to do, beloved, because some of those people are absolutely destitute and extremely grateful for anything that they get. Some of those people drive up in brand new trucks, and they're real picky about everything they see downstairs. But we're called to love both of those groups of people the same and not judge them for who they are. We are just called to bestow love upon them and to meet whatever need they have. Here's my problem today. If that is what we are called to be as Christians, as the church, as people who believe that the needs of our brothers and sisters are more important than our own needs, that we should help to ease their suffering, then why do we think more about ourselves? Why are we consumed with our own day-to-day living more so than reaching out to others, making sure that they know Jesus Christ? Because eternity is a long time, beloved. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to see anybody go to hell. I remember going to camp and seeing this thing, and it is still fresh in my mind. My baby girl is in her mid-30s, and she was a seventh grader. They showed us this little skit about a car wreck and people not being told. You nod your head, you've seen it. People not being told about Jesus. And they took my little girl screaming and pulled her off of the stage, and she was going to hell in this skit because nobody told her about Jesus. And I still remember that picture vividly in my head today. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I am called to make sure that nobody lives out eternity in hell. Beloved, we are called to love everybody, no matter how different than we are. That does not mean that you cannot have your own convictions. That does not mean that you cannot have your own beliefs. Nobody's asking you to do any different with that. All the Word of God calls you to do is to show kindness, show love to all of God's children. And who are all of God's children? Anybody who's breathing is God's child. You know, Beth sent a video to me. Actually, she tagged me in the video, and I absolutely love this video. And she said, "This is our church." And I believe that it is our church and how we're supposed to enact.
This has messed me up all week long.
You see, church is not a club, and it's not about membership. It's so much bigger than songs and sermons. Can I brag right quick? Not on me, but on a bunch of other people. It's a bunch of people that's part of our church. So we've had a few visitors in our church the last few weeks from different states.
A lot of them have messaged me and said something very similar.
And it makes me really happy, but also gets me just a little emotional. They've said things like, "I've never felt so loved. There's a genuine concern and authenticity that makes even the worst in me feel welcome. I left in tears, not because of a sermon, but because of the genuine love that people show toward me."
So there's this atmosphere here that God has created where He has taken all of these misfits, the messed ups and the screwed ups and the cracked ups and the brokens, and He's made us all new, but with an appreciation of where He's brought us from. Realizing that everybody that walks through those doors is just like us. We are all messed up, and the only thing that separates us from that is Jesus. Because we didn't deserve the grace He extended to us. It was freely given to each one of us. And we know when they walk through these doors that it's not our job to fix all of their problems or to call them out on their problems. Our job is simply to present the powerful Word of God and allow it to do its work inside of all of us, without an agenda and without bias. And our job is to present the grace that we have freely been given. And I am so thankful to be surrounded with people like that. It is truly life-changing, and I wish the world could experience it. God is so good.
I truly believe that that is our church time and time again. I have brought people in this building. I've given them a tour of the building when nobody else was here. People who come to the pantries who say, I want to see your sanctuary. My daughter, the other day, she says, Mom, there's a feel of love in this church. And she said, I don't mean what the people did for our gathering. That was beautiful. But you walk in the door and you feel love in this church. I don't know how many times I've heard people say that. Melissa, who's visited our church several times, say, I feel love in that church. Cowboy Ron tells other people, I feel love in that church. We have something that people desperately need. We have love. We have prayer. It has permeated this building to the extent that people feel it when they walk in the building. So I'll ask it again. If we are called to love others, why don't we just do that? Forget about the differences. Forget about the things that we don't like. You can have your own convictions. You can know that somebody is not where they should be. Lord knows I'm not where I should be with God. But I know that I am deeply and perfectly loved by God the Father, by Jesus the Son, and through the Holy Spirit, I can pour love onto others. If loving our brother and sister means believing that their needs are more important than our own needs, doesn't that make us pretty vulnerable when we do that? I think it does. But being vulnerable is not a bad thing because you cannot possibly have a hard heart and be vulnerable at the same time. And God does call us to be vulnerable, and to love others. I think there are a few things that get in our way of actually enacting this passage. And one of those things is that we fear those who are different from us, and we fear those who do not share our faith, and we believe that they will destroy our church. They will destroy our faith. And we go about the business of protecting our God. Well, you know what? Our God is a mighty big God. He doesn't need us to be his security. He can take care of himself. He created each and every one of us, and he knows what's in our hearts. He knows why some people are angry and bitter, why some people are hurt, why some people turn to drugs. And why some people turn to other things. He continues to love them, and that's what we are called to do. There are many dangers in this world, and among the top of those dangers is our losing our ability to love. I think another thing that gets in our way of truly being able to love is we've been hurt by love before. Is there anybody in this room that has not been hurt by love? Or maybe I should ask it this way. Is there anybody in this room who has been hurt by love? We all have. We all have. And that makes it extremely difficult to turn around and love again. But we must first put our trust in God the Father. We must believe that even if we were the only person on this earth, Jesus Christ would have died for us. You know, that video was a perfect depiction of what I believe our church to be. That we do show grace. That we do show love. That we do come alongside of the members of this body that are hurting. I think sometimes we just need to stretch ourselves a little bit more when it comes to the people that are rather challenging. You know, it's been my experience that when a church truly enacts this kind of love, that they grow. They grow first and foremost spiritually. They grow in the love of God. They grow more deeply in love with one another, and the bond there is incredible. And then they grow in number, because our God honors those who honor His word. Our God does indeed honor them. But that is what we're called to do. To love our brothers and sisters, all of them, no matter what. That is why this particular passage tells us that perfect love casts out fear. No, none of us are ever going to be perfect. But the love of God, enacted in the way the Word has called us to enact it, is perfect love. And it does cast out fear. And I see love. Every time I send out a prayer text and I see you guys come back with praying for one another, every time somebody in this body is hurting and I see people reach out. I love Joyce and Jim. They reach out. They just instinctively know when somebody is hurting and they're at their limit. They invite them over. They encourage them and pour love upon them and build them up. I love watching how people who come to the pantry are loved. I love watching how you all respond to the people who come to the community meals. The young man I told you about last week or the week before, I don't remember. I saw him on the street yesterday as I was driving back to the house. And I waved at him, and he came running towards the car. Not a good thing to do, mind you. But I rolled the window down, and he reached in and grabbed my hand. He says, "Pastor Angel, I'm sorry I didn't come to church, but I feel love in your church. I feel like those people really love me." And I do believe that we enact church. We enact love. Every time we pray over one of the prayer blankets, every time we show up at somebody's house when something is needed, every time we deliver a meal, we show love. What wondrous love is this, that the Lord of bliss has laid down His crown and laid down His life for us. Is it so difficult to ask that we enact the same love?